This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استن بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in this world, and He gave us different obligations and responsibilities. Whether those responsibilities and obligations are in relation to a husband and a wife to one another, to a person and their neighbor, to an employer, a boss, a ruler over their subject or over their employee, or whether it is a parent over their child. Allah has given us so many of these relationships and responsibilities, but there is one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized so much throughout the Quran and Sunnah. One that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions consistently only next to His right subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the right of the child to the parent. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا Your Lord has decreed that you worship none other than Him and that you have excellence, beautiful conduct towards your parents. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described for us the prophets in the Qur'an, He mentions over and over their dutifulness, their piety towards their parents. When He mentions Yahya alayhi salam, وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَيْهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا عَصِيًّا Allah says that He is dutiful to His parents and He was not a disobedient tyrant. when he speaks about the miracle of Isa in the cradle speaking to the people. He says, وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي, God has made me dutiful to my mother. When he speaks about Prophet Sulaiman and the dua that he makes, قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْهِ, my Lord, enable me to be grateful for all the blessings that you have blessed me with and to be grateful to my parents. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his Khalil, Ibrahim alayhi salam, the intimate friend of Allah azza wa jal, and he mentions the long struggle that he has with his father, he mentions the beautiful nature of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam as he's speaking to his father. A father who not only engaged in idolatry, but built the idols, promoted idolatry. And he would speak to his father in a series of verses. And in each verse, he would begin by saying, Ya Abati, O my beloved father. The most beautiful possible term of endearment to address his father, he used in each and every statement he made to his father. Ya Abati, lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa la yubsiru wa la yughni 'anka shay'a. Oh, my beloved father, why is it that you worship that which does not hear and does not see and will not benefit you at all? And when his father rejects him and turns against him and threatens him with death, what does he say to his father? قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي. He says, peace be upon you, I will seek your forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِي حَفِيًّا. Indeed, my Lord has always been gracious with me. And so the prophets, no matter the status of their parents, whether their parents were prophets or whether their parents were those building the idols and engaged in idolatry, they showed excellence, beautiful treatment to their parents. And throughout the Quran and Sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws together the meanings of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alongside the piety to one's parents. So he says, وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Worship God. And do not associate anyone in that worship with God, and have excellence to your parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. Show gratitude to me and to your parents. Because of this, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, فَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَلَمْ يَشْكُرْ لِوَالِدَيْهِ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْ. Whoever is grateful to God and is not grateful to their parents, it will not be accepted from them. Because Allah brought these two things together. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah says, remember when we took the covenant from the children of Israel to not worship other than Allah and to show excellence, beautiful treatment to their parents. When the Prophet was asked, what is the best deed? قَالَ الصَّلَاةُ عَلَى وَقْتِهَا, to pray at its time. And then he was asked, ثُمَّ أَيْ, then what comes after it? قَالَ بِرِّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, he said to have piety to your parents. Again, bringing together the idea, worship Allah and be good to your parents. These two things in succession, one after the other, are the most important thing for any Muslim to do. Conversely, when the Prophet ﷺ was asked about the worst sins, he said, كُلُّ الذُّنُوب يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا مَا شَاءَ. All of the sins, Allah will forgive whatever sin He wants, إِلَّا عُقُوقَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, except being abusive to your parents. فَإِنَّهُ يُعَجِّلْ, Allah will hasten the punishment in the dunya along with the punishment that will come in the next world. And he said, أَكْبَرُ الْكَبَائِرِ, the worst of the sins, the most major of all the sins, الْإِشْرَاكُ بِاللَّهِ, worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, associating in the worship with Allah. وَعُقُوقَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, and to be abusive to your parents. وَشَهَادَةِ الزُّورِ, and to bear false testimony. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam kept repeating this over and over and over again until the companion said, we wished he would stop speaking. Meaning they felt the gravity of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was saying. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, رِضَ الرَّبْ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ وَسَخَطِ الرَّبْ فِي سَخَطِ الْوَالِدِ, that the pleasure of your Lord is found in the pleasure of your parents. And the anger of your Lord is found in the anger of your parents. We know the hadith when the man came to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, من يا رسول الله من أحق بحسن صحابتي, O Messenger of Allah, who has the greatest right to my companionship? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam could have chosen so many different people. He could have mentioned your wife, your spouse. He could have mentioned your children that you need to raise. He could have mentioned your boss at work, the person you do business with who helps you put food on the table. He could have mentioned your neighbor. He could have mentioned your friends. He left all of these people aside. And he said to you, Ummah, your mother. That mother. As if the Prophet is saying, if you only have 1 hour of the week free, if you're busy throughout the week except for 1 hour, who deserves that hour? Your mother. ثُمَّ مَنْ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Who comes after her, O Messenger of Allah? Your mother and your mother. 3 times before he said your father. This is the person who has the greatest right to your time, the greatest right to your engagement, the greatest right to one smile you have, give it to your mom. One gift you have to give it to your mom. 1 hour you have, spend it with your mom. She has the greatest right to this. This is the attitude of our Prophet ﷺ. We know the example of the day when he was on the battlefield in the aftermath of the battle, and all the chieftains are coming. All the great warriors are coming to the Prophet ﷺ, wanting to speak to him, wanting his time, wanting his attention. And an old lady comes. And the Prophet leaves all of these people aside. And he takes off his shawl. And he puts the shawl on the ground. And he seats this woman. And he asks his companions to bring him milk. And he gives the milk to the woman. And all the people are wondering, who is this old woman? That the Prophet would leave behind all of these important men to spend his time with this woman. And then they find out this is his mother, bir rada'a. This is the mother of the Prophet ﷺ through breastfeeding. If this was the honor and respect and the love the Prophet ﷺ would show his mother through breastfeeding, what would have he had shown to his own mother had she had been alive? We see the Prophet ﷺ, when a man comes to him wanting to fight with the Prophet ﷺ in Medina, and the Prophet ﷺ in Medina, they are surrounded by enemies in every corner. And they need what more than fighters to be with him? Soldiers in his army. You would think the Prophet ﷺ, as the leader of these people, the leader of this army, he would be begging for soldiers, looking for men to fight with him. And this young man comes. And the Prophet doesn't ask him, the first question he asks him is not, what weapon are you good at using? What experience do you have in warfare? How are you going to be able to benefit us? The Prophet ﷺ instead asked him, أَلَكَ أُمْ Is your mother alive? The man said, نَعَمْ He said, yes, she's alive. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, اِرُجَعْ إِلَيْهَا وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَيْهَا فَثَمِّ الْجَنَّةِ Go back to her and have excellent treatment of her, for that is where Jannah is. The Prophet ﷺ is telling him, even fighting with me right now? No. You want Jannah? Go to your mother. Serve your mother. That's where you will find Jannah. Another man came to our Prophet ﷺ all the way from Yemen, passing through the mountains and the valleys, coming to our Prophet ﷺ to live in the city of the Prophet, to learn knowledge from the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, as a leader, he's looking for people to help him build Medina. He needs people. If they're not going to be fighters, are they going to be blacksmiths? Are they going to be doctors? How can they help this community that is so poor? And the Prophet doesn't ask him any of these questions. He tells him, كَيْفَ تَرَكْتَ أَبَوَيْكَ How did you leave your parents? قَالَ تَرَكْتُهُمَا يَبْكِيَانَ He said, I left both of them and they were weeping. The Prophet ﷺ said, اِرْجَعْ إِلَيْهِمَا وَأَضْحِكُهُمَا كَمَا أَبْكَيْتُهُمَا Go back to them and make them laugh just as you have made them cry. Go and make them happy just as you made them sad. This was the appreciation that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for our parents. What he taught us about serving our parents. What he taught us about being dutiful and loving and respectful of our parents. And that we need to emulate throughout our lives. فَأَقُونُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. In the remaining time that I want to speak about, I want to address something we don't often address. In our religion, serving our parents, being dutiful to our parents, being respectful of our parents is one of the most important things in our faith. At the same time, our religion is a religion of adl, it's a religion of balance. And unfortunately, there are cases where there are parents who abuse the respect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for them. There are parents who sometimes tell their children, If you don't obey every single thing I do, you're going to the hellfire. There are parents who sometimes tell their children, you know, these types of things and control every single decision the child makes in their life. And this can harm not only the relationship between the child and the parent, but can also harm the relationship between the child and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want to speak about, are there limitations to obeying our parents from a fiqhi perspective? So first of all, we don't like talking about this topic often because we don't want to encourage children to be undutiful to the parents. So first we have to establish that it's important to be dutiful to your parents. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us with birr al-walidain, to be dutiful to the parent. That does not mean ta'at al-walidain. That does not mean obedience of the parents. There is a distinction there for different reasons. Amongst those distinctions, maybe you obey your boss at work. Maybe your boss tells you to do something, you obey him. And maybe inside you, you hate your boss and you think he's terrible. Is that birr? No, it's not birr. You're obeying him, but you don't have any piety towards him, right? At the same time, with our parents, we have to have respect towards them in all scenarios. But there are situations in which we don't necessarily have to obey them specifically. What are these situations? The first of them is the obvious one, that when the parent commands the child to do something haram, to lie, to cheat, to steal, Allah, the Prophet ﷺ tells us, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There is no obedience to the created being when it involves disobeying the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this happens in our community. Maybe parents don't tell their children to cheat and to steal, but sometimes, you know, for instance, a father gets into a fight with his brother. Then he tells his children, don't talk to your uncle anymore. You have to cut him off. It's haram to cut off our family, our bloodlines, right? And sometimes children don't know what to do. They obey their father. No, here your father is telling you to do something that is haram. And so in a way that's respectful, you know, Ibn Uthaymeen spoke about this scenario in particular, in a way that's respectful, maybe without telling your father, maybe without, you know, trying to openly disobey him, but secretly speak to your uncle, secretly build a relationship with your uncle without necessarily abusing your father. Another scenario that happens sometimes is if the parents ask the child to do something that will result in harm for the child. And there's an example of this, of a sister who had back pain. She had significant back pain, and she went to a doctor, and the doctor said there was a problem in her spine, and she needs to have surgery, otherwise she will have tremendous pain. And her parents rejected this. They said no, because they were afraid that if people found out she had surgery, it would hurt her ability to get married. Her marriage prospects would suffer. So they didn't want people talking about this, so they told her no. Now she's in pain, so she went to the scholars, said, what do I do? They said to her, you can do the surgery. You can disobey your parents because they're asking you to do something which would cause you harm. You understand? It's going to cause you significant harm. Another example, a man came to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he said to him, my father is commanding me to divorce my wife. What should I do? So Imam Ahmad said to him, don't obey your father. The man said, isn't there a hadith that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu an went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He said, ya Rasulullah, my father has told me to divorce my wife. And the Prophet said to Abdullah ibn Umar, obey your father. So Abdullah ibn Umar divorced his wife. He said, doesn't this hadith exist? Imam Ahmad said, yes, this hadith exists. He said, so why are you telling me to disobey my father? And so Imam Ahmad said to him, and is your father similar to Umar? Is your father like Umar ibn Khattab? Meaning when Umar ibn Khattab tells his son to divorce his wife, he's doing it because of a shar'i reason. He's doing it because of an Islamic reason that he's telling him to divorce his wife. He said, your case, your father is telling you to divorce your wife for no good reason. So why are you going to obey him, right? And so if a parent involves themselves in the life of their child to this degree and tells them, divorce your husband, divorce your wife, and there's no Islamic reason to do so, there's no real pressing Islamic reason to do so, you don't have to obey your parents in that scenario because they're causing harm to the child, right? This is a command of theirs that's causing harm to them. And Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, speaks about this. He said, يُلْزَمِ الْإِنسَانِ طَاعَةُ وَالِدَيْهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَعْصِيَةٍ وَإِنْ كَانَ فَاسِقَيْنِ وهو ظاهر إطلاق أحمد هذا فيما فيه منفعة لهم ولا ضرر. He said that it is obligatory for the person to obey their parents, even if their parents are sinful. We have to obey our parents even if our parents are sinful. But this is in areas in which, of course, they're not telling us to disobey Allah, and in areas in which there is a benefit for them and there is not a harm upon the child. Now, I want to make one point clear here. When we say harm, harm in society now, everything is harm. Everything is violence. Everything is trauma. Harm is meant from an Islamic perspective. The Islamic perspective of what is harm. Now the third scenario, what if your parents tell you to do something that is not necessarily harmful to you, but is not beneficial to them? So they tell you, you want to go buy a Toyota. They tell you, no, go buy a Honda. If they told you, go buy a BMW, maybe that's too expensive for you, that's harmful, right? But if they tell you to buy a similar car, instead of the Toyota, go buy the Honda. Or you say, I want to study medicine, they tell you, no, go study law. Or the opposite. You want to study law, they tell you, go study medicine. Here, is the parent benefiting from the car that you drive? No. Are they benefiting from what the field that you study? No. So here the scholars say, it is not obligatory for you to obey your parents. However, if you did obey your parents, you will be rewarded. If you say, I wanted to buy the Toyota, but my dad wants me to buy the Honda, so I will buy the Honda to make him happy, you will receive reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wanted to go into law, but my parents want me to go to medicine. I went into medicine to make them happy. You will be rewarded tremendously by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these scenarios. And so this is why Ibn Taymiyyah says, this is in areas in which there is benefit for the parent and there's no harm. So now if there's something the parent tells you to do in which benefits them, so your father calls you and says, give me a ride to my friend's house. I want to see him. Is there benefit for the parent? Yes, it is wajib for you to do so. It's wajib, it is obligatory for you to do so. Your father calls you, your mother calls you, says, come mow my lawn. I'm too tired to mow my lawn. It is wajib for you to listen to them. You have to go mow their lawn. There's a benefit for your parents in it, right? And so these distinctions are important that we have to understand. And one of these areas is when the parent insists, by the way, on the child to marry someone they don't want to marry. They say, you have to marry this person. And the child says, I don't want to marry this person. رحمه الله تعالى speaks specifically about this situation. He says, لَيْسَ لِأَحَدِ الْأَبَوَيْنِ أَنْ يُلْزِمْ الْوَلَدِ بِالنِّكَاحِ. He says, it's not in the purview of any of the parents to force their children to marry someone. And he gave an example here. He said, you shouldn't force someone to eat food they don't like to eat. Some people, there's certain types of food you don't like. Right? Everybody maybe has a preference. Certain types of food they don't like. He said, you shouldn't force someone to eat the food they don't want to eat. And the bitterness of that food will last only 1 hour. He said, but the bitterness of marrying someone you don't want to marry could last the person a lifetime. Right? So forcing the children to marry someone they don't want to marry, he says, this is not the right of the parent. Of course, in the case of the daughter, the father has to agree. So they both have to agree. But he shouldn't force her to marry someone she doesn't want to marry. And there's an example that came to Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. A man came to Imam Malik. He said, my mother prefers my sister to me. She likes my sister more than me. And every time I get money, you know, he said, I live with my mother and my wife and my sister. Every time I get money, my mother tells me, give it to your sister. Anytime I get anything, she tells me, give it to your sister. He said, I have a wife, I have kids, what am I supposed to do in this situation? So Imam Malik said, إِنِّي أَرَى أَلَّا تُغِيذَهَا وَلَكْنْ تَخَلَّسْ مِنْهَا كَيْفَ قُدِرْتِ. He said, I see that you shouldn't harm your mother. Meaning you shouldn't say, what's wrong with you? Why are you always preferring my sister? And you get into a big fight with her. He said, don't do this. At the same time, get out of the situation however you can. So your mother says, give this to your sister. He said, inshallah, I'll see what I can do. Inshallah, later I'll figure it out. So to daddy be him, right? To kind of find excuses to not obey your mother, because what she's asking you to do is unfair. You know, you have a wife that has more of a right to your money. You have children that have more of a right to your money. You know, make excuses, but don't get into a fight with your mother, don't harm or hurt your mother, don't, you know, say bad things to your mother, like sometimes, unfortunately, people do. But at the same time, don't obey her just as well. And so this brings us to the overall point. Even if your parents are telling you to do something haram, even if they're telling you to do some the worst of the things, to worship other than Allah, you must be respectful. Birr al-walidain is in every interaction with our parents. We have to be respectful no matter what. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن
تشرك بالله على أن تشرك بما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما. If they are struggling, fighting, arguing with you to do what? To make you worship other than Allah, the worst sin. What does Allah tell us? فلا تطعهما. Don't obey them. وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا. And still be their friend, be their company in all that is good. So subhanAllah, even when they're trying to make us do the worst thing, be respectful. Don't obey them, but be respectful. And spend time with them, companionship with them, speak with them, give them good words, spend good time with them. This is the attitude of the Muslim. In all our scenarios, we show respect and love and piety to our parents. Inna Allahu malaikatu yusalluna ala nabiyyi ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد ما ذكره الذاكرون الأبرار وصلي عليه ربنا ما تدوع مسك وفاح صلي عليه ربنا صلاة وسلاما دائمين إلى يوم الدين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أمهات المؤمنين وعلينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها وسرتها برحمتك أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون عبد الله بن الصلاة